Shalom, saint. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is yours, Joseph Smith, the son of Holy Spirit, the wisdom of a generation, and I welcome you to this morning devotion series with a topic which is walking in the newness of life. Walking in the newness of life. This series will unfold what it means to live beyond the old, what it means to be clothed in Christ, and what it means to be empowered by His resurrection. Therefore, let us walk and journey together into the fullness of life in Christ Jesus. May we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this grace and this opportunity that you give us again this morning to sit at this table and receive from you, Lord. As we partake to this table, may you open the eyes of our spirit so that we may see behind the veil and comprehend the things that we have never comprehended before. Lord, I pray for the divine impartation, that may this teaching impart your people and enlighten their journey with you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you. My basic verse is found in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. But I would like to read first Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and verse 30, in order to establish my introduction to this teaching. I really love this topic, walking in the newness of life, and I pray that this topic blesses your life as well. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it read as thus: For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And verse 30, I want you to pay attention to every single word of this verse because it is very, very crucial and important. Verse 30, the scriptures read as thus: For those he predestined, he also called, and those he called, he also justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. Hallelujah. So the Lord has called you and me. This calling is a calling into sonship. He has called us so that we can be his son. We are called now, and our calling will be fulfilled in the future, meaning in the eternity. As for now, according to this scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and verse 30 specifically, the Bible says that those he called, he also justified. As we answer our calling into sonship, we are actually in the process of being justified. And after our justification, we shall reach our last stage, which is to be glorified. Hosanna, are you following me? Don't worry, if you didn't understand anything, I will break everything down here. So Jesus Christ was raised into sonship, and he received a new life before the Lord. Jesus was a prototype or a pattern, and he also became the firstborn of the whole of creation to bring forth the same gene of his kind. Are you listening? So when we look at him, Jesus Christ, who is our pattern, we will notice that he went through this same process that Romans talks to us about. He was called, he was justified, and he was glorified. We're going to see that shortly in the Bible. So, Jesus went through this same process to set a standard by which every other gene that is produced by him must follow. Hosanna. So let me open a bracket here. I want to talk about the standard, because this is very, very important. God cannot proceed with a judgment without establishing a standard by which his judgment will be based on. Hosanna, are we together? So therefore, that is why God used Jesus as a standard that everyone else will be measured by. The first Adam was the standard by every other person or human being in this world will be following. And Jesus Christ, this first standard was humanism, actually. So Jesus Christ, the second Adam and the last Adam, is also a standard by which everyone else will be measured by. Are we together? So God started fathering Jesus after the process of his glorification. And it was only after his resurrection that Jesus could say that all the power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So therefore, you also have to reach the final stage, which is the stage of glorification, in order to take your rightful place before the Father. Hosanna. That's why when you read scriptures like John chapter 17, the high priest prayer of Jesus Christ, you will see Jesus talking up and saying, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him." This is why I was saying Jesus had to produce, he produced many genes according to the same gene that he was himself, or that was in him. So Jesus is carrying on to say that, "I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." And he said, "Now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." So after this process of justification, Jesus now had to enter into his glory and receive the glory. Hosanna, it's just too tough. I will break it down as we're going through the teaching. So may we read our basic scripture, which is Romans chapter 6, verse 4. I only have 12 minutes, 10 to 12 minutes. I'm not going to take long time. And I pray that through this short period of time, your eyes will be opened. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it reads as thus: "We were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised, we also should walk in newness of life." In this Romans chapter 6 verse 4, the word declares something very important, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too should walk in newness of life. We are in Christ, and Christ is our home. I want you to listen to me carefully. The Bible says we were baptized into his death. This means that when Christ died, we died with him. Why? Because we are in him. So when he was raised, we were also raised with him after his resurrection. Christ received a new life, and he's living and walking in this new life he received from the Father. That is why the Bible tells us that we must walk also. We too must walk in the newness of life, the life that we received in him. That is why when you read scriptures like Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and we are seated with him at the right hand of the Father. That is positionally. Hallelujah. So I want you to understand that the newness of life begins at the cross and at the resurrection. Two places. This life is covenantal. It is not an option that one should choose. Hosanna. So why does the new life begin at the cross? Because the cross here, in this context that I'm talking about, the cross symbolizes a total surrender to the Father. This is the commitment of our spirit to him in order to receive his spirit within us. This is a covenant. We empty ourselves. We empty our being. We commit our spirit, just as Christ said, "Into your hand I commit my spirit." This is the process of dying to self. Christ had to commit his spirit to his Father in order to receive the spirit that was gonna give life to his mortal body. Does it make sense? Hosanna. Why did I say that this is a covenant? Because at the cross, Jesus Christ breaks the wall of partition between us and God. At the cross, the Father breaks himself this wall. He forgives your sin and he forget it for good. And he will no longer remember it. He will no longer count them. It is at the cross that the Father, to establish a covenant, the Father shares, he divided his Son into two. He shares the blood of his firstborn Son of the creation in order to rescue the whole of his creation. Hosanna. Why does the newness of life begin at the resurrection as well? Because it is at the resurrection that adoption is fulfilled. Christ was adopted. His adoption was fulfilled at the resurrection. It was at the resurrection that that which was dead received a new life in order to take his rightful place in the heart of the Father. Hosanna. So it is also at the resurrection that a spirit of adoption is given to us. Jesus became Emmanuel practically after his resurrection, meaning God among his people, with full power in heaven and on earth, with his glorified body as well. You understand? A son is born unto us, a child is born unto us, a son is given. And he shall be called, oh, wonderful counselor, all this name, and everlasting father. When did he become this? All this name were fulfilled when he was glorified. Hosanna. So, to define walking in the newness of life, I would like to say walking in the new in the newness of life means living out the resurrection reality. It is no longer to be bound to the old man, but it is to be clothed in Christ. This is a life of transformation. This is a life of renewal and daily alignment with the Holy Spirit, not the flesh. This is a life sealed by holiness, a life sealed by joy, and a life sealed by the covenantal identity. Hosanna. So in my next teaching, which is tomorrow, I'm going to talk to you about the five pillars that will help us to walk in the newness of life. Five pillars that will help us to walk in the newness of life. I hope this short message has imparted your life and opened your eyes into divine mysteries. If you want to receive more of these teachings, please send us a message. Yeah. And we will continue sharing this message with you. You are highly blessed. May the Lord make your day fruitful. As you have listened to this message, let this be the beginning of you walking in the newness of life, of you living out the resurrection reality, of you no longer be bounded to the old man, which is your flesh. But let it be a beginning of you being clothed in Christ and covered by his blood and protected, sealed with a covenantal identity, which is to be a son of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, shalom, shalom.